Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Madeline's Madeline, The Wife, and Crazy Rich Asians. I don't know where to begin. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
I'm still working on Madeline's Madeline, but other than that, quite well.
Well, that's good. Okie doke. Yeah, Madeline's Madeline. This is a very Proustian title for this film, suggesting, of course, the famous Madeline into which the narrator of Remembrance of Things Past bites and suddenly is flooded with memories of his past that then go on for about 2,000 pages. And Madeline's Madeline does not go on nearly that long, and it actually has nothing to do with Proust or anything like that. It's being hailed as a great experimental film, I must say, as someone who has engaged pretty intensely with a real experimental film for quite a few decades now. I find this only a mildly inventive film. But it is quite unconventional by the standards of ordinary Saturday night movies. And I salute the writer-director, Josephine Decker, for at least attempting something unconventional and interestingly unconventional, even though I don't think it quite succeeds. So Madeline's Madeline focuses, as one might anticipate, on a young woman named Madeline. And she is apparently mentally ill. She has real difficulty sometimes telling reality from illusion, illusion from reality. She's not sure what around her is real. She is in a theater group, which is a very experimental theater group, and they're always doing different projects. They're doing one big project at the moment, but they're always improvising and being creative, and that itself sets up certain sort of interesting tensions between what's real in the lives of the people in the theater group and what are they just inventing for the sake of their latest theater project and so forth. And then also in Madeline's life, in addition to this theater group that she is part of, there are a couple of women in her life who are very important to her. One is her acting teacher, and the other one is her mother. And her acting teacher is trying very hard to sort of organize the creativity of this group into one kind of overall creative, focused creative project. And her mother is trying to cope with Madeline, and also cope with her own life, which is not working out exactly the way she wanted it to. So basically we have here a story of three women. The main woman is Madeline, and then these two women who are in her life, and very important, sort of. They're giving her guidance, and they're sort of the older people, the wiser people in her life. But each of them have their own confusions, and so it's that's what it's about. And the movie itself sort of blurs in and out of what is objectively real and what is sort of the way Madeline is perceiving things. And sometimes this is worked out in interesting ways, and sometimes I think not in very interesting ways. So. This all may sound very confusing, and it is a little bit confusing to look at. Not all that interestingly confusing. It's not a movie that I really enjoyed sitting there and trying to parse and figure out as I watched it. What I did enjoy were the performances, particularly of Helena Howard as Madeline. I think she is a very gifted young actress, and I think she probably has a pretty bright future before her. I hope we see a good deal more of her. She's really a very, very fine young actress. Also, we have Miranda July, who's been around quite a lot, and Molly Parker, who has been around quite a lot as the older women in Madeline's life, and they both did very fine performances. I find it interesting that they both, they actually look sort of similar in some respects. For a little while in the first part of the movie, I sometimes wasn't sure for a moment which one of these two characters I was looking at, and I think that's very deliberate on the part of the filmmaker. It again suggests the kind of ambiguity that swirls barrels through pretty much everything in Madeline's life. And so that's an interesting way of carrying that ambiguity into the level of the movie itself that we're watching. So again, I think Madeline's Madeline is, I respect it for its attempt to do something audacious, unconventional, unorthodox. And I also salute it for getting into theaters, because a lot of times nowadays, movies that really try to be different, you know, they end up sort of languishing on the shelf, or, you know, go straight to cable or something like that. So I'm glad that that this you know, very, I think, promising young filmmaker. She has a few minor credits before now, but again, Josephine Decker, I think it's commendable that she tried to do something that was really different from the common run of movies, that she managed to get it into movie theaters, and I hope a lot of people see it, even though I didn't find it fully satisfactory. Next film I'd like to talk about for a moment is called The Wife, and it is primarily a sort of a Scandinavian production. It's official countries of origin. We sort of put the resources into it are the UK and America and Sweden. And it was directed by Bjorn Runge, and it has to do, interestingly enough, even though it's called The Wife, and she is basically the main character of the movie, it is also very much about her husband, who is a writer, and at the very, very beginning of the movie, he wins, yes, the Nobel Prize, the highest prize of them all. Extraordinary. His name is Joe Castleman, and he's an author, and he obviously is a very important and widely respected author, and at the very beginning of the film, there he is in bed with his wife, whose name is Joan, and the phone rings, and it is the call he was hoping and hoping and hoping he might receive, and he has received it. So he's got the Nobel Prize, and now he has got to get himself ready to go off to Scandinavia and receive that prize and go through all the formal ceremonies. So is the greatest honor, just about the greatest honor that anybody can receive. And a very large part of the film concerns that trip off there to receive the Nobel Prize in Norway. And along on that trip, along with Joe, the famous author, goes his wife Joan. And they've been married for about a jillion years, but they aren't getting along as well as we all might hope. And also their son, who is a young man, himself trying to become a writer. His name is David Castleman, and he is also along for the trip. And he is not getting along particularly well with his parents. He is a rebellious young man. And he wants to be a writer, and he is very disappointed that his father is not supporting him in his writerly ambitions as much as he had hoped that his father would do. And then we have various minor characters who swirl around them, people organizing the whole thing with the ceremony and so forth. So that's basically what this movie is about. It is about this nuclear family, the famous author, his long-suffering wife, and their somewhat rebellious and discontented and grumpy young man's son, all going off to this Nobel Prize ceremony. And they have all kinds of, conflicts among the family. Now, I have to say, the movie is very nicely acted. I've always liked Jonathan Pryce. He's an actor I find very appealing, and he continues to be appealing as he gets older and older, and he is very good as Joe Castleman. A lot of the attention that this film is getting is going to Glenn Close, who plays Joan, the wife, because it's really the most demanding part, because she has to both express sort of pride in her husband and also discontent with various aspects of her marriage. And also Max Irons is very good as David Castleman, that young son. And also floating around, the sort of most important secondary character is a guy whose name is Nathaniel Bone, and he is played by Christian Slater, who hasn't been around in the big screen all that much lately. And he's very good. He's a biographer. He wants to write a biography of Joe, and Joe has been thrusting off this young man for a very long time. Now, all of these people are very well acted, and they're interesting characters. I will say that there is a gigantic twist that comes in the movie, somewhere around maybe halfway through, I'm not sure exactly how far through, where it turns out that the relationship between Joe, the famous writer, and his career, and the wife, who we discover through flashbacks, who was herself an aspiring writer back around her college days, but she sort of gave that up when she married Joe, we find that the relationship among the two of them and his writing career is way more complicated and way more sort of strange and unconventional than we ever could have suspected. I'm not going to give away what this gigantic twist is, although a lot of people, like my girlfriend, might guess it long before it's actually officially revealed in the movie. But I didn't find it very plausible. That is, it's possible that something like this could be the case, but the way it's worked out in the movie and the whole business with the Nobel Prize and so forth, I just didn't believe it. I also didn't believe that on this astonishing brief trip to Norway to receive the Nobel Prize, that this family wouldn't be able to have a good time and kind of put the enormous conflicts and tensions and jealousies and rivalries and whatnot under the carpet at least for 2 or 3 days. But here are these people on this fabulous trip to Norway to receive the Nobel Prize, for heaven's sakes, and they're mostly squabbling about this and squabbling about that and arguing about this and arguing about that in the back of the limousine. At one point, poor Joe actually throws his Nobel Prize medal out the window of the limo. Anyway, I just didn't believe a lot of this stuff, and I found that the end of the movie was a very, very easy way out of all this, and I was not convinced by it. So again, The Wife is a very well-acted movie, but I just didn't find it very plausible, and the more it went along, the less believable I found it, and that is disappointing. So it's a kind of an interesting movie. It's lively enough to watch, but I just didn't find it a very convincing drama. And now, for Crazy Rich Asians. This is one of the phenomenal hits of the year. It is a gigantic box office success. Everybody is running out to see Crazy Rich Asians. Based on a book, screenplay written by Peter Chiarelli, directed by John M. Chu, and it is about exactly what the title suggests. It's basically about a young couple who are going to be married soon, and they go off on a big, long trip to Asia, and all kinds of in-laws or future in-laws and relatives and whatnot are involved in this story. And our young main character, whose name is Rachel, she has to meet her mother-in-law-to-be, who does not believe that any Chinese-American would ever be good enough to actually be in their fabulously wealthy family. Yes, these people are all crazy rich. And we have the relationship between Rachel and her mother-in-law-to-be, and we have her relationship with her fiancé, who is a very nice young man and who obviously really loves her. She, I think rather implausibly, had no idea until this trip to Asia that her fiancé is fabulously, unbelievably, crazily wealthy. She didn't even know that. So that's interesting. He kept a secret from her because, of course, he wanted to be sure that she loved him for himself and all of that. But this adds extra tension when she comes into contact with her mother-in-law-to-be, who, again, wants nothing to do with any Chinese-American. So it's a kind of an interesting movie. It's sort of about, it's about racism on one level and about reverse racism on another level. And that's kind of interesting. And it's all worked off in the worked out in the context of this sort of crazy, flamboyant, romantic comedy, because the movie really is just a very fancily decked out romantic comedy, a rom-com, as we say nowadays. So, how do I like Crazy Rich Asians? I really didn't like this movie at all, this phenomenal box office success. You know, fine, my hat's off to its great financial rewards, but I didn't like it at all. And the reason I didn't like it at all is that although it's meant to be sort of a satire of wealth and the real meaning of life, and the big message of the movie, which is all too unmistakable, is that there are so many things in life which are more important than money. Love, loyalty, family, all these things are more important than money. This, the movie tells us, this, the movie sort of hammers us with, and yet every moment of this movie is drenched in money. The movie itself, obviously, was really expensive to make, and it splashes that wealth, that color, those objects, that luxury all over the screen every single second. It doesn't give us any respite from this. Really, the largest part of this movie takes place during parties. Parties, a wedding party, an engagement party, a bachelor party, a this, a that. And the parties are all fabulous, and they're all full of people who are eating and drinking and just basking in the great privilege and enjoyment and luxury that their wealth bestows on them. All the time, we're supposed to be thinking, ah, yes, there are so many things in life more important than just partying and having a good time and just having lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money. I just found the whole thing really obnoxious. You know, we live in a very materialistic age, and I found Crazy Rich Asians to be yet another example of the just insanely materialistic movie. Again, its message that there are things more important than money, than wealth, than luxury, I found the movie itself was contradicting with every passing moment. And all of these fine performances and the high spirits and the energy of it just eventually started to wash over me, and I liked the movie less and less as it went along. Rachel Chu, Nick Young, Eleanor Young, the various people who act the big parts in this movie are all just fine, and it's beautifully photographed, and it's colorful. There is color and liveliness and imagery spread all over the screen every moment, and that's nice to see from time to time. But again, as a movie with a message, I didn't buy it, I didn't like it, and I don't plan on seeing it again. So that is my somewhat dyspeptic story this week, Jill.
Hooray for dyspepsia. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Madeline's Madeline, The Wife, Crazy Rich Asians.